It's Marketplace Tech for November 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. A lot of modern employers don't have employees, at least not in the legal sense of the term. Companies that are part of what is called the gig sharing or on-demand economy partner with people who want to use these technology platforms to run their own businesses. Those workers, along with Uber and Lyft and TaskRabbit and Airbnb and on, might see a new era under President-elect Donald Trump, who says he is a pro-business president. So we asked NYU Stern School of Business professor Arun Sundarrajan to come by and drop some knowledge. Arun, what changes might these freelance workers expect under President-elect Donald Trump?
The most obvious concern for people who run sharing economy businesses is that all of the progress that we've started to make towards protecting the on-demand workforce may start to get reversed.
Do you think that these things will get reversed or just like under-supported?
I think there's a real concern that the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, will get reversed.
Sure.
And that will have a significant impact on the desirability of being a sharing economy provider.
So if you're a freelance worker, what should you be thinking about understanding the prediction that you have just made?
You know, over the last few years, a number of private sector solutions have started to emerge for the freelance workforce, for protecting the freelance workforce. I'd be looking into those much more aggressively rather than sitting back and waiting for government action that will somehow create the safety net for me.
So can you give me some examples of some of these services and what they might provide?
Another aspiration of freelance workers that is automatically taken care of when you have a full-time job is getting the same amount of money every 2 weeks or every month.
Oh, yeah.
There's a wide variety of income stabilization products now where you contribute a little of what you earn for about a year. The service figures out how much you make on average.
You always get the same paycheck.
Yeah, it isn't exactly like getting the same paycheck, but it reduces the volatility.
Arun Sundarrajan, professor at NYU Stern School of Business and the author of The Sharing Economy, The End of Employment and the Rise of Crowd-Based Capitalism. Arun, thanks a lot.
Ben, always a pleasure.
From U.S. labor to a quick story about Kenyan wildlife parks, where catching poachers of elephants and rhinos and antelope can be a challenge. How do rangers usually do it? World Wildlife Fund Senior Director of the Crime Technology Project, Colby Laux.
Essentially, they would get into a place where they thought they would come into the poachers, and then if they got close enough, they would jump up, turn on flashlights, and then run after them.
Well, there's a new tech-enabled method. The World Wildlife Fund recently installed thermal infrared imaging cameras that are running human detection software in two parks. The cameras were installed with the help of a $5 million grant from Google. Since they've been installed, the cameras have caught over two dozen poachers. Next up, a plan to use the technology with drones. Those tests started in Zimbabwe and Malawi in October. Codebreaker is back with a brand new season. This time around, a new question. Can it save us? We are asking this simple question about a different kind of technology every single week. You can subscribe now on iTunes. For those of you who are planning to empty the wallet on Black Friday, all in the service of increasing consumer-based holiday cheer, I have some news. Black Friday is so over. Okay, the hordes will probably prove me wrong before the week is out, but it is true that the day has the word deals all over it, and there is some false advertising there. The good news is that the internet can be your friend. Here to talk about all this is Wirecutter Associate Deals Editor Adam Burakowski. Adam, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. So you found that lots of things labeled deals, maybe not so dealish.
That's what we have found. I've been working at the Wirecutter for a while now, and I've been doing this deals thing for years before that. And traditionally, we found that many of the advertised deals are a complete waste of time. Some of the numbers we had from last year, we scanned some tens of thousands of deals, and we found that under 1% of the ones we looked at were actually worth your time.
So give me the basics. What do you do? If there's three things that I should do on Black Friday while I'm shopping online, what are they?
Okay, first one, find what you want to buy. And that means down to the model number, because a lot of retailers will have different models of something. I'm going to give an example.
Sure.
Stand mixers. We've had a lot of problems with these. It is a kitchen product that mixes baking goods. They also come in different types of bowls, say like glass or metal bowls. And for some users, glass and metal may be good. For some, you know, one of the ones might not work as well. So if you get the model number off by one digit, you might be getting an entirely weaker product with a subpar mixing bowl for your needs, and you've just wasted your time on Black Friday when you could have gotten the right item.
So know what you want to buy.
Know what you want to buy.
Search by that product number.
Yes. Two, look up recent prices on the item. And that doesn't mean just the last week, because a lot of retailers will have jacked their prices up in the past couple weeks. But look, try and find out what the price was in September or October. And then three, decide what price you're willing to pay. That is a big one. Because a lot of retailers on Black Friday will have limited time deals. So they'll go for the next 3 minutes, especially on Amazon. They have this thing called lightning deals.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. They sell out fast.
Yeah.
Like no matter what it is almost, it'll sell out fast. And if you're looking at it and you're like, you don't know what price you are willing to pay, then you might be buying a subpar deal. Like I said, based on our research last year, not many of those were worthwhile.
So essentially, do your research beforehand.
Definitely. You'll prevent stress. You'll prevent wasting your time. It'll just save you so much hassle.
Or maybe wait till next week.
That too. That's an option.
Adam Burakowski, he is associate deals editor at the product review site, The Wirecutter. Adam, thank you very much for coming by.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you heard Snapchat is trying to become a $25 billion public company. Meanwhile, Instagram, part of a public tech company already, is trying to become Snapchat. Facebook's photo and video sharing app with 300 million daily users launched a bunch of new features this week, including the ability to send disappearing videos and photos. Live streaming video, too. Also apparently disappearing, the differences between tech companies. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.